You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Monday, the 3rd of November, 2025, a day where the Australian share market rose, the S&P ASX 200 up 0.15%. We'll have the details with David Walsh from Sarto Advisory in a few moments, including what he's telling his clients. But first to Westpac, and greater competition for home loans has contributed to a 1% fall in full-year profit to just under $7 billion. It'll pay a fully franked full-year dividend of $1.53 per share. Australia's biggest bank saw an increase in customer deposits and total loans, although housing credit growth was below industry average, squeezing margins. It's also spending money to restructure the business, simplifying products, processes and systems while reducing operating costs. The market liked the update, shares up 2.8%. And for more, I spoke with Westpac CEO Anthony Miller. Anthony, first of all, this is your first full year in the job. How would you rate your performance?
Well, I was rated by my board recently, so I think I got a pass to a credit mark, I think, in terms of my first year. I certainly enjoyed it a lot more than I suppose expected. It's been a real pleasure, real privilege and a real pleasure. So, yeah, I think I got a pass mark for my first year. It's all about getting after it now for the next three or four.
Okay, let's talk about the numbers. And what I'm really keen to know about in particular is how your customers are feeling, because we know that the RBA is unlikely to cut interest rates tomorrow. Lucy Ellis, your chief economist, is still forecasting two more rate cuts next year, even as other banks, so we might not see any reductions. So to what extent are your borrowers on top of their repayments? How are businesses feeling? And do they really need a rate cut?
Yeah, a great question. A lot in that. What I would say, just to be in relation to our mortgage book, 85% of the mortgages with Westpac, the customer is ahead on their payments, so they have a buffer in what they have to pay to the bank, and so that just highlights there's plenty of capacity with our customers in relation to interest rates and movements in interest rates. I think, you know, our forecast now is that the Reserve Bank is unlikely to cut rates on Tuesday. But we're expecting a rate cuts in May and August of next year. What I would also say that's just been really sort of interesting, and it's all about looking at the data, what's coming through, and there's lots of slightly inconsistent or incongruent signals coming through. But certainly we've noticed that consumer sentiment has in some months rallied, in other months has come back a little bit, but overall is trending in the right direction, point number one. Secondly, the Westpac DataX data analytics team sort of highlighted that it's been a 6.5% increase in consumer credit card spend through the Westpac platform. And that was the biggest increase we'd seen since April 2023. So a little, again, another signal that things are a little bit more positive. Having said that, it is still the case that it's a bit fragile out there, and we need to be sort of cognizant of that. The other thing that I am, I suppose, very focused on, and, you know, there's periods where I think it's going better and there's periods where, you know, we need to remain vigilant, is small business. And our analysis of small business free cash flow, it's starting to get in the right position. It's starting to, if you will, ease in terms of cash flow position of small businesses. And certainly that's encouraging. If we continue to see that trend pick up, then that will be a positive in terms of, you know, likely further investment activity and further private sector activity in the country.
Okay. What about where growth is going to come from at Westpac? If we take mortgages, for example, when our home loan growth is below system average, you're selling more loans through costly mortgage brokers. While interestingly today, the Commonwealth Bank said its digital home loan channel business has become its fastest growing. So what about the future for Westpac?
Yeah, so we are growing in the mortgage book, but we're going in a very targeted way, focusing on segments that make sense for our customers, represent our customers. And so We are growing, and we're growing in a very deliberate, targeted manner. I think what we've been very pleased with over the last 12 months is the growth we've realised in the business bank, you know, something 15%, 22% in agricultural sector, for example. So we've seen very positive growth there in business bank. And we saw 17% growth in our institutional business over the last 12 months. And so those were areas where we deliberately and very in a very focused way wanted to grow, and we did deliver the results that we wanted. We are focused on how do we improve our proprietary lending channel at Westpac. And so we're adding more bankers to be able to speak to more customers. We're giving our bankers better tools, giving them better training to ensure that they can be far more proactive and far more service orientated in looking after our customers, and we're pretty confident that we've got what we need to in place. It's just going to take a bit of time to get it right. And then we're very pleased with our digital mortgage offering, and we've been pleased with the growth that we're seeing there. But for us, it's a combination of what can we do digitally, what are we doing via our branch, what are we doing via our call centres, and how do we bring that three-way package together to support our customers and what they need and when they need it.
You mentioned training your workers, right? That training, does that also include training in AI? I want to know more about your investment in AI. What does it look like?
Yeah.
What kind of real examples can you give? Because we hear a lot from CEOs about a lot of corporate talk about, you know, what we're doing with AI. But what are some real examples about what you're doing on the back end? What does it mean for your workers? And then what do consumers actually see when we talk AI?
Yeah, look, I mean, we're very I suppose, excited or engaged on what AI could mean. And in fact, you know, it is a tool that we have as a bank been using for a while in its earlier forms, machine learning, advanced analytics, AI, now generative AI, then agentic AI. This is an evolution in how this tool is used. We see it very much as something that is a tool in the hands of our employees. And so alongside the investment that we might make in AI, we also need to make an investment in our people, in their training, in the leadership of our people to make sure they know how to use this tool and challenge them to use it in a way that makes their job easier, makes them deliver a better outcome every day, and then importantly, delivers a better outcome to our customers. So ironically, the AI evolution we're undergoing is very much focused on it's a tool, and a tool is only, you know, as good as the person who's using the tool is trained or motivated to use it. And then I would just sort of advocate that, you know, one of the more attractive opportunities with AI is that it asks you to take a step back and think about how are you organised? How will you deliver a product or service, or how will you get a particular process or something done? And the AI, if you will, evolution, allows you to think about doing things differently. Do you need to have a person sitting in the middle of every step, or is it appropriate to have some of those steps undertaken by an agentic? And then the person is only dealing with one or two stages of a particular process to check or to, if you will, review, or more importantly, just be the person who interacts with the customer after work has been done by, you know, an artificial intelligence tool that you've designed, whether that be something like an agentic program. And so it's a really interesting way to think about how we should run our business going forward. And we're obviously very excited about its potential. The key for us is to make sure that the training is in place and that we inspire our people to use this tool to make their job and lives much easier.
You're listening to my interview with Westpac CEO, Anthony Miller. What more can you tell me about the Unite program as you restructure the business? Because you're spending money now to simplify products, processes and systems while reducing operating costs. So what does it look like and what kind of progress have you made?
So Unite's around essentially simplifying the Westpac group, because the way we're configured today is that we essentially have three different bank systems with all of the products, policies and processes that attach to an individual bank. And so we have three banks inside this group. And what Westpac is doing with Unite is identifying what's the one best way we might do mortgages, or the one best way in which we write deposits, agree which way that is, and then identify the one bank technology stack that we will do that on. And then we're migrating all of what we do from those two other bank systems, bank processes, onto the one target stack at Westpac. And so therefore, as a result, it means my 20% market share or my 20% scale in mortgages is instead of being deployed across three different banking systems, is actually now on one banking system. And so all of a sudden, my market share, my 20% scale is delivering real benefits. At the moment, my 20% market share, for example, in mortgages is diluted across three different bank systems. And so therefore, I'm running three different banks as opposed to one bank. And so Unite is about picking and identifying that one target tech stack, that one best way in which we want to do things, migrating it all onto that one tech stack. And so therefore, there's quite a little bit of work and planning and investment up front to be able to then migrate everything across to that one tech stack. And once we've done that, then all of a sudden the cost to run can be reduced quite considerably because we switch everything else off, and it therefore allows us to run one process on one system. And to bring that to life for you, when we were asked to make a change in relation to our mortgage product, and it was just a small regulatory adjustment, it cost us $17 million to do that change across three different banking systems in Westpac. After Unite, the cost would be just on $10 million. So quite a considerable reduction in the cost to run and change the bank as a result of the fact that it won't be three banks, it'll be one.
I guess also when you hear the word simplification, though, the follow-up question has to be that of jobs. I mean, does that also mean a smaller workforce? If we take the comparison with ANZ, for example, we know that it's slashed a couple thousand of jobs.
Look, our workforce is constantly changing. So we've got 35,000 people at Westpac. In the last 12 months, 5,200 people joined Westpac, 5,698 left Westpac. And it was just an evolution in roles and skills and responsibilities. There's no doubt that as we collapse the different banking systems and move everything onto one, there'll be some roles that are no longer needed. But equally, there'll be new roles that will be created as a result. And so it's not a crude job out exercise. It's really about identifying one best way to do things, put it on the one technology stack, and then execute the bank and enjoy the benefits of our scale at that point.
And given that we're SBS World News, I wouldn't mind a global commentary just to wrap up. You say that global uncertainty remains, but this is an opportunity for Australia. In what way?
Well, I think to be a country that has had, if you will, a return of government, has had the stability that we've enjoyed over the last two or three years in terms of federal and state government elections and election cycles. To think about the continuity and the consistency in terms of regulators, government, and if you will, the nature of our economy just means that we are a stable environment. And so when capital and talent around the world is looking to go to a jurisdiction to invest capital or to work and create and innovate, they're looking for certainty and can they trust the jurisdiction in which they go? And Australia represents one of the most stable, consistent jurisdictions in the world at this moment. And so therefore, the more we ensure that that stability is matched by thoughtful, if you will, and effective regulation, thoughtful and effective policy settings to encourage more capital and more talent to come to Australia, it sets us up to be a really interesting competitive alternative for many people around the world. And so that's what I think we should be thinking about, is how exciting it is if we can just simply get our settings a little bit more, if you will, orientated around attracting capital and talent, we have a real opportunity here to differentiate ourselves globally.
That's Westpac CEO Anthony Miller there. To the Australian share market now, which rose today. The S&P ASX 200 trading in the red for much of the day, but closed higher by the end. Up by 0.15%, 8,894. The worst performing sector, healthcare today, followed by materials, the best, information technology and financial. For more on the day's market action, I spoke with David Walsh, a market analyst at Sato Advisory. What more can you tell me about David, all eyes on the RBA tomorrow. I mean, there's no chance tomorrow, right? How is the market feeling about future rate cuts then?
Yeah, there's no chance for tomorrow. You've got more luck in the big race tomorrow than a rate cut. And what we'll be looking for is the post-meeting press conference with the governor to see, you know, what she says, and there'll be a lot of reading the tea leaves. But the expectations, as we can see in the market reactions, are that, you know, there's no rate cut tomorrow and there's very unlikely to be rate cuts, you know, this year.
Those market reactions then, how is it flowing through to equities? Because we've seen interest rate sensitive stocks down, so too healthcare. And on a side note, like stocks like CSL continuing to fall down 38% so far this year.
Yeah, that's been a disaster, and we'll come back to that in a second. But what we've seen really is a sharp sell-off in the retail sector over the last few days, pretty much after the CPI data came out. It was assumed that the retail sector would be under pressure, no rate cuts were coming through. That's continued again today. The market movers today really, it's banks up, everything else sort of weak and soggy if it's not idiosyncratic. Property sectors come off its highs as well over the last few sessions. But CSL, on CSL, it's, two strikes. It's had two earnings downgrades in quick succession. We've got their Capital Markets Day or their Investor Day in the US this week. And what we really want to see from them is some confidence around their CSL bearing business, that this is still got that big moat around it, that it can grow at high single, low double digits. They'll get the profit margins back on track. We know that their vaccine business, Aquaris, is in a cyclical downturn. That's quite clear. That'll take time to work out, but they really need to give the market some confidence. And if we can get the confidence around this business, and they do have a strong structural business there over many decades, the stock can look undemanding at these levels and on these valuations, but we need that confidence that that moat hasn't been penetrated.
It'd be interesting to see what they say about American vaccination rates, because I think that's one of the issues there, that more Americans aren't necessarily getting vaccinated. Can we talk about Westpac for a moment? I just spoke to the
Absolutely, that's
CEO.
key news of the day.
I know, right? I
Right.
spoke to its CEO, full year profit down 1%, but the company or the bank's spending a lot of money on a restructure to simplify the business. The market seems to like the update. What's your take?
Yeah, well, all roads seem to be leading to the banking sector. Like you said, there was no real disasters in the result. The positives around the net interest margin being a little bit better than expected on the second half exit than the first half. Asset quality is great, and that's what's been driving the earnings upgrades in the last few months as analysts take down their bad debt assumptions. The conditions are really strong. The loan book continues to grow. Westpac was a little bit lower in the home loan than system growth, but business loans are strong. It'll be interesting to see what NAB, traditionally fairly strong in the business lending space, says around the competition there. But like you said, there's another cost program for Westpac. It seems that, over the history, or recent history, there's always another cost out program at Westpac, and it really comes down to their execution. So stocks have had a great re-rating on essentially flat earnings for the year. They do well from higher rates. They will talk about rate cuts in the future, but they do well with rates staying high. They'll be really focused on getting their costs under control, but at the moment, as we discussed earlier, all flows seem to be going to the banks as the other sectors just can't find, buyers at the moment.
Okay, so finally, what are you telling your clients right now? Where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Yeah, really, it's about being patient. There's a concentration both domestically here in Australia, the banking sector in the large cap has really dominated, and some of the larger mining companies. The other growth stories, even when there's no new news, they seem to be selling off on expectations that they'll be disrupted by, new technologies. So we're really looking for opportunities there. We've seen some great turnaround in narratives in certain names in the global markets. The share prices have been sold off over months, and then when we get to the moment of truth and we see some earnings and we see some outlooks, all that underperformance is quickly made back up. I think there's a big risk in chasing performance at the moment. So the message is be patient. We're going to get a lot more results and updates, in the next couple of weeks in Australia. We'll get the rest of the banks in fairly short order. We'll get overseas earners like Aristocrat and Xero, which have come under some selling pressure recently. So I'm really interested to see what they have to say about their outlooks and their business operations.
That is David Sartor. Apologies there, David Walsh there from Sartor Advisory, and he wraps up the podcast for this Monday. If you enjoy it, give it a rating or review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and click subscribe. See you tomorrow.
This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only and should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.